Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, the difference between an absolute catastrophe and life just going along as is can be the difference of a little button. World War III almost started back in 1962. Maybe you knew about this. Off the coast of Florida were sitting four Russian submarines ready to attack. And the captain of those submarines, the Russian captain, was quite trigger happy and ready to attack. Now, the United States and the U.S. warships off the coast of Florida, they knew that those submarines were there, and they had dropped depth charges to shake them up and ultimately attack those submarines. But the submarines had diverted their way, maneuvered their way, and they were still intact, really watching the coastline of Florida. In those submarines, anxiety and stress were at an all-time high because of the journey there to Florida. Why? The crew in those submarines had been told that they were just going on a simple reconnaissance mission to Siberia, but they got redirected down to Cuba and then ultimately to Florida, a 5,000-mile journey across the Atlantic. When they came across the Atlantic, these four submarines, they went directly through Hurricane Daisy. They experienced 50-foot waves. You just imagine how the waters were churning underneath and even up on top with those submarines. And then when they got to the Caribbean, they experienced the warm waters. And they were not used to the warm waters. They were used to the cold, frigid Arctic waters. Down in the Caribbean, it was thought that at the moment, the crew was experiencing temperatures of 120 degrees Fahrenheit in that submarine. How does that sound? Not fun. Anxiety and stress was very high in the crew and also in the captain of those submarines. The U.S. warships were right above. And you see, here's the thing. The captain of that crew, the Russian captain, just all he had to do was to hit a button. That button would launch nuclear warheads. There were four of them inside those submarines. Just one of those would absolutely destroy one of our cities on the coast of Florida. See, the difference between an absolute catastrophe and just getting by in life can come down just to a little tiny button. My friends, this morning, I think the disciples were at that point where they were going to about ready to hit their button, so to speak. They were out on their boat with Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. Our text doesn't, I don't think it said the Sea of Galilee, didn't name it, but that's where they are, the Sea of Galilee. And they come upon a great storm. These storms were very well known on the Sea of Galilee because behind that lake, that body of water, there was a high mountains with high elevation, and you can imagine how this worked. Weather fronts would come in, and those weather fronts, high and low, would meet above the Sea of Galilee, and then there would be great wind storms and rain storms that would come upon suddenly on those who were sailing across the Sea of Galilee. We know from archaeological evidence that quite a few ships or boats like the ones described by Mark in Mark chapter 4, they were destroyed in storms because we can find them on the bottom of the Sea of Galilee. Now in this moment in Mark chapter 4, anxiety and stress were at an all-time high. Panicky feelings. And as I read the text, I tried to think about what the mindset of those disciples were, what the mindset was as they were experiencing that anxiety and stress. And what I came to conclude is that as I thought about each of those disciples, each one had a button that they could have hit in that moment. Simon Peter, On that boat, I think he had a temper tantrum button. He was on the verge of hitting it and saying something outrageous and in anger about their situation. Andrew, his brother, as I think about him, I think he had a decisive button. He liked to make plans and tell everyone what to do. He was on the verge of hitting that button and telling Jesus and everyone the route they were going to take. James and John, I think they had a button to lay blame on everyone else. Something like this. Hey guys, why are we using these rinky-dink boats? We should have used the boat that my father owns. It's far more fancy and would have saved us. Then Philip. Philip's an accountant. We know that he's a bean counter. He was on the verge of hitting his button, the button of doom and gloom. And then Thomas, the skeptic, he was on the verge of hitting the button of all the evidence around him that things were going south very quickly. Anxiety and stress, they're not a sin. And we all experience anxiety and stress. But see, what anxiety and stress does to us is it leads us to hitting our button. You have a button. I have a button. What is it that leads you? What is it that leads you to almost hitting that button when you get stressed and anxious? The disciples were there in that moment. So also were those people in those ships that I was describing just a little bit earlier. You know, the reality of it is when we do have anxiety and we're stressed out, what I found to be true, and maybe you can relate to this, is that I tend to forget things. Do you forget things when you get stressed out? All right, so I'm going to share personally something silly I did this last week. I had a pretty stressed out day Wednesday night. I got one of those honey-do lists. Do you ever get those? This was on my honey-do list. I had about 2 hours to get all these things done. It may not sound like a lot to you, but to me it was a lot with the kids getting ready for bed, and I had to do it all from 7 to 9 p.m. I had to do a deposit at the bank. I had to stop by a member's house. I had to come by church and pick up a cooler that we left here maybe a month and a half ago. I needed to walk the flowers, take out the garbage, fix some childproof locks, and there was one other item. I had to fix another item on the car. I had to fill the car up with gas. That was the honey-do list that night, Wednesday night. And I'm happy to report that I did everything. Got an A and all those things. Knocked them out in 2 hours. But here's the thing. When I came to church, because I was so filled with my list and things to do and somewhat stressed to get it done, I left the door open from the fellowship hall out towards the garbage and left the church. Now, thankfully, a member showed up 15 minutes later and shut the door, and I'm very proud to report that nothing was stolen. But here's the thing, can you relate to that? When you're stressed and anxious, you forget something far bigger than just an open door. We forget our commitments to our loved ones. We forget our commitment to our spouse, commitment to our children, our grandchildren, our commitment even to our Lord Jesus. My friends, the disciples forgot about Jesus in the boat. How crazy is that? Or to maybe put it more directly, maybe they remembered that Jesus was in the boat, but they had forgotten all the things that he had done already. Think about all the things that up to this point in Mark chapter 4, what Jesus had done already, before this calming of the wind and the waves. Jesus had already done these things. In Mark chapter 1, he entered a synagogue, and he cast out a demon in a man that came in crying and convulsing. It was a challenging thing. And Mark's gospel details this little note. You got to pay attention to these little notes that Mark gives. Mark says this, that the entire countryside was talking about Jesus. Move on to Mark chapter 2, and in Mark chapter 2, Jesus heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law who has a fever, and he heals others. Mark adds a little detail in the fine print. He says this: everyone was coming to Jesus. Mark chapter 3, Jesus heals a man who has leprosy. No one had ever done that. Here's the little detail Mark adds. Jesus was so popular that he could no longer enter the towns and villages, but stays outside because hordes of people are coming after him. Everyone knows about Jesus. Then finally, Jesus heals a man, a paralytic that comes in through the roof, and he heals the man. The crowds are swarming around Jesus. And the little phrase that Mark's gospel says is this: the people said they had never seen anything done like this. Now, if you had been, the disciples were around Jesus when this happened. They saw these things. It's somewhat amazing that here they are in the storm, and they forget that he's right there with them. That's what anxiety does. You forget. You forget about God's strength. You forget about God's presence. We can forget about his power to speak into our lives. Here's the good news. Did World War III ever happen? No, it never happened. Thank goodness it never happened. Though this is a true story, it was discovered back in 2002. So the U.S. warships were above those four submarines down below. The situation was very tense. Anxieties were high. The button was right there. In 2002, it became public what actually happened. There was a man in the crew in those four submarines by the name of Vasily Arkhipov. Maybe you've heard the story before. He was calm. He was clear in thought, in tight situations. And the captain of the submarine got the staff together and tried to get a plan to unleash these warheads. Vasily pulled the captain aside and had a private conversation. Vasily, chief of staff, and the captain, he was 36 years old at the time. He talked to the captain and asked him, persuaded him not to unleash the warheads, but to simply surface the submarines and have conversation with the Americans. And the captain was persuaded. They went up above the waters and a miracle happened. For some reason, and no one knows exactly why, the warships decided to let them go and wander back off to Russia. When this was discovered in 2002, one of the leaders of the Russian army said, the moral of the story was this: one man by the name of Vasily Arkhipov saved the world. That's a quote. Now, wouldn't it be great if we had a guy like Vasily on our boat with the stresses and anxieties that we have and with that button that we want to push, a guy that would just come by our side with calm thought and with gentleness and with calmness pull us back? My friends, you do. Jesus is on your boat. Jesus is on your boat. He always has been on your boat. Let his calmness, let his gentleness, let his voice lead you. Pastor, that's a nice thought, but how can that really help today? I don't know. Well, here's the thing. Think about what Jesus has already spoken into your life already, what he's already done. He spoke into your life and he gave you life itself. Your heart beats. Your hands move. Your feet dance and jump. Jesus has already spoken into your life presently. The sins and grief that we have, he speaks and it's clean and forgiven. What we read about David sinning with Bathsheba, it's wiped away and clean for David. And Jesus has spoken the same words to you. Jesus has spoken into your future. You've been baptized. Yes, death will come. But what he's spoken into your life, this eternal life that he's given to you, extends life for you in his presence. So if Jesus has spoken into your past, spoken into your present situation, and to your future, why can't he speak into the storm of your life right now? He can. Let him speak. Peace. Be still. Jesus is in our boat, and he speaks to us today. Peace, be still. If we were, here's the moral of the story, really what this miracle is about. If we were to build a building, and right next to us was the master architect in the United States, wouldn't you ask him or her for advice? You would. If you were making a dinner for your family and right next to you was the world-class chef, she's right next to you, wouldn't you ask her for advice on how to make that meal? If you were training for an Olympics, if you were training just for a 5K in the community and right next to you was an Olympic gold medalist, wouldn't you ask them for tips on how to train? The person right next to you spoke to wind and waves. No one's done that. And he's in your boat. Let him speak these words. Peace, be still. Pray with me today. Dear Lord, there are storms out there, and we won't name them, but in every heart that's here today, there are storms. In my heart too, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that we don't face them alone, but right next to us in our boat is your son Jesus. May his words, as quietly and calmly as they come to us, may they speak powerfully in the situations that we face. May we hear that voice and be stilled and calmed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.